The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, we're often given scam warnings, but the truth is that it can happen to anyone. My next guest went into the criminal world after his own mother fell for a romance scammer. And this person went to Nigeria to track this person down. Reporter and researcher for the New York Times and author of the upcoming book, The Yahoo Boys, Real Life with the Love Scammers of Lagos, Carlos Barragan. You're very welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Claire, for having me.
Delighted to speak to you. It's an extraordinary story and a fascinating one, but your own interest began very close to home when you realized that your mother had fallen for one of these people.
Yeah, exactly. My mom met an American soldier on Tinder back in 2015. And, you know, I'm very close to my mom. She was a single mom back then. I'm the youngest of three kids, and I was 19 by then. And when things started getting very weird, and this guy said that he wanted to send some gold bars to my home in Madrid, I started investigating whether this was real or not. And I tracked the IP email address, and the guy who was supposed to be in Syria, because he said he was an American soldier, well, the guy was in Lagos, Nigeria. And for my mom, it was a big surprise, because I think that by then she was already in love with this guy. And a long time passed, and during the pandemic, I saw my mom struggling with loneliness, and I kept thinking, who was the guy behind the scam? Why did he do it? How did he do it? And most importantly, why my mom, someone who I deeply admired, had fallen for it. So then I decided to go to Nigeria.
So can I ask you, when you went with that information to your mother and you said, look, this guy is in Lagos, he's not in Syria, did she accept that?
Well, that is a good question, because many victims struggle to accept that they've been talking to a scammer. And it took hard evidence. So before showing the IP email address, I told her that this was a scam. I showed her news stories about scammers all over the world, in Nigeria, in Southeast Asia. And she didn't believe it, you know, because she had already told so many things about herself, about her family. She had already pictured this man in her head. So it took hard evidence. And my mom said, oh, what a fool I am, because she saw it when I show her the IP email address. So I guess that it took hard evidence to convince her.
Had she sent him any money?
No, because it was right when the guy was going to ask for money. They come up with so many excuses. He had passed like maybe a month or two during the scam, and he waited for a month until my mom was really hooked to then come up with an excuse. They tell you they're going to send you money, gold bars or whatever, and then the next email you receive is the gold bars are stuck here in an airport, you need to send money. So it's important to tell listeners, my mom didn't care about the money. You know, we are like a middle class family in Madrid, but that money, they come up with that idea because with that money they are going to build a house and they're going to be together. So the money is linked to the idea of forming a family, of being with someone else again.
So eventually then, Carlos, you decide, I'm going to go to Lagos. I'm going to try and find this guy.
Exactly. I was very curious. And, you know, there were stories about the Nigerian prince back in the 90s, but I felt like much of it was a stereotype. And I wanted to understand who these people were. And I was just curious, you know, I wanted to know their real motives and how they do it, how they convince people, because it's really hard to convince someone to send you money if you've never seen them in real life.
But also,
I was very curious about what they thought about our own loneliness.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to convince someone to send you money, but they have every trick in the book, as you have learned in your extensive negotiations. Now, spoiler alert here, you didn't find the exact guy, did you, who was in touch with your mother?
No, actually, I didn't. I think I would have made a Netflix documentary if I had. But what I found was something way bigger. Suddenly, I found that there were thousands of young men who were unemployed, struggling. And because their older friends, older brothers, they were into scams, they just did what these people were doing. And they learned from the street techniques to scam both women and men in the West.
Yeah. And I mean, this, what you found was that this is a really big industry. This is your way out of poverty in Lagos.
Yes, it's important to note, though, that it's completely disorganized. So, for example, many people in the West believe that it's kind of like a criminal syndicate and it's all sophisticated. But when you get to Lagos, when you get to the neighborhood I describe in the book where I follow four scammers, you see that these are young teenagers. They are teenagers who are like completely on their own because to scam someone like my mom, you just need a phone from there. And they don't have bosses, they are on their own.
And is there a manual? Like, do they pass around a list of phrase books, or how do they do it? How do they learn to do it?
Yeah, they call it scripts, and they pass those scripts along to friends and younger people, and they have different ways to scam people. They call one dating, which basically they pretend to be a white man or a white woman to scam people in the West, either men or women. But also, they also pretend to be celebrities, for example, and they have this script called Celebrities, and they pretend to be, I don't know, you name it, Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Brad Pitt, and they scam fans of those superstars. But they have so many techniques. One was the one that they wanted to do with my mom, the gold bars, but another one is, can you send me money for the plane tickets? And then suddenly something happens. So they have all the excuses you can imagine to obviously never get to your hometown.
You found a man or a boy, a young man, who was scamming an Irish woman, and he was making so much money in a Nigerian context that he was living in a hotel.
Exactly. So when he started scamming this Irish woman, he only had 40 cents. And he remembered thinking, what am I going to eat next? And then he met this Irish woman. He pretended to be a WWE superstar, the American fights. And he met this Irish woman. And the first day he met her, she sent him 300 euros, which was a great amount for him. But in the long run, because he scammed her for at least 3 years, he made tens of thousands of euros from her. And he spent it lavishly. He bought very fancy clothes, rings, etc. But also, he would give away his money to the community. And the way they do it is just they go to hotels, and just suddenly the whole community is looking at them because they irradiate power, a reckless power.
Yeah, it's important to contextualize, though, what that money looks like in Nigeria. Like, you're dealing with people who are earning less than or in or around 25 euro a month doing
Yeah,
a
yeah, yeah.
job.
For example, Chibuke, who was the guy who was scamming the Irish woman, he worked in a water factory, bagging bags of water before getting into the scam. And for 1 year and a half, he made less than the 300 euros he received from the Irish woman in 1 day.
There you go.
So the incentives are really hard. And that's why there are more and more young men doing this, especially since the pandemic when inflation hit really hard in Nigeria.
And how are they viewed in the community, these scammers? Like, does everyone know what they're up to?
Yeah, like the word, they call themselves Yahoo Boys because of the email service back in the early 2000s. And the word Yahoo, and they pronounce it like that. It's very well known in Nigeria. And I think what I found most fascinating while researching for this book was that they have a very mixed view of the money that they are bringing and their activities. I found many of the elders, think that this is ruining their image, you know, because there are also racist stereotypes about Nigerians being scammers. And, you know, it's important to note that this is just a small part of the country. But at the same time, there are other people who are like, well, they are bringing money to the country. And, you know, back in the day, the white people stole from us, they enslaved us. So it depends who you ask. But at the same time, the community is facing, is receiving money in the short term, but in the long term, is creating all sorts of tensions because all these young men suddenly, they don't want to work. They want to scam Westerners because they can get more money and faster.
Is there a sense that if you're not doing this in this small area in Lagos, that you're a bit of a fool?
Yeah, a bit like that. And that's the problem. And, you know, I focus in just one neighborhood, but I remember talking to other young men who were not doing it. And they would tell me, when you are in a hotel, for example, I talked to a waiter in a hotel, and he told me how these Yahoo boys would like throw money on the floor to them, and they would treat them like if they were rubbish, because you cannot compete with them in terms of the money they have. And that applies to the people, their girlfriends, you know, getting girlfriends or getting all the getting the attention from the community. But at the same time, the people who are not doing it, they would tell me, well, God is on my side. I know that I'm doing right. I'm not hurting people. You know, it's important to know that a lot of Nigerians, they know the implications of what they are doing. But at the same time, if you want to hang out with the cool kids, you have to do that.
Yeah, and then there's a whole economy, I would imagine, around it as well. Like if you're selling the expensive drinks to these guys, or if you're selling them the designer outfits, you don't want this business of scamming to end.
Oh, of course. So think about this. You are in a, think about a slum where they don't have much money. A lot of people struggle. You know, I remember meeting a family that had to split an egg in four ways for dinner because Nigeria is going through a huge economic crisis. And suddenly you have this incredible amount of money arriving here. And people need to bear in mind that these boys are teenagers, early 20s, and they consume a lot of drugs. So the community creates around these young boys kind of like a network to siphon out, to siphon this money out of them. So in a way, the scammers get scammed, and there are many, many ways of getting the money from there. I've met hotel owners who devise plans to fake, to serve fake alcohol to them. I've seen boutiques selling clothes for exorbitant amounts of money to Yahoo boys who don't even care. Obviously, women who devise ways to get the money from these boys. So the whole community tries to survive in one way or the other.
How did you feel about them at the end of all of this, Carlos?
Well, I think that when readers read the book, they see a lot of mixed feelings. And, you know, the being in Ikoton with the neighborhood in Lagos, you see people struggling so much that I'm not the right person to judge who what they are doing. And I think when you see so many young men doing it, there might be reasons why they are doing it, but at the same time, you cannot just say, well, it's because of poverty circumstances, because what about the young Nigerians who are not doing it? You know, they are also facing a dire economic crisis, and still they decide not to do it. But I think it's a question that we all face, and especially in hard circumstances in certain countries, whether the circumstances that affect you are going to push you into doing something bad. And I think it's the tension between the circumstances of your life and whether you have agency to say no to crime, for example. So I guess that I have mixed feelings. And as with everything, life is complex and you have to find the reasons why this is happening before tackling it.
Yeah, and also there are other questions around why people are falling for these as well. And you mentioned at the beginning that loneliness is a huge factor, isn't it, for people in the West who are handing over money on day one to some of these guys?
Yeah, the first reason why I wanted to write this book was because I wanted to write a book about loneliness, but I couldn't grasp that concept just by interviewing victims, because there is also the victim side in the book, but mainly I focus on four scammers. But because once I was there, I spent more than 6 months living in Lagos. Once I was there, I understood that to explain the loneliness epidemic in the West that we mentioned so many times, I think it was better to just do it from there. Because once you see a small boy like Aziz, one of the main characters of the book, who is 14 when he's scamming an American truck driver, and okay, he only gets $5 or $10. But then you wonder, how lonely are we that this small boy who knows nothing about us is getting money from this man? And then once you see that, you question all the structures, all the technology that we've built, that in a way is kind of building these gold cages around us that is making us more lonely every year. So that was my main goal.
Yeah, it is absolutely fascinating. It's a great read, Carlos, and because you come to it with such an interesting perspective, because it was so personal to you to begin with, it just gives it another dimension. The book is out on the 11th of June, available to pre-order now. It's called The Yahoo Boys, Real Life with the Love Scammers of Lagos by Carlos Barragán. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.